please.
Thank you, Excellency. Good morning, distinguished colleagues, distinguished panels, and thank you very much, Mr. Chair. It is an honor for me to be here today to introduce this expert panel on the important issue of addressing protection needs in emergencies. We often talk about the alarming year-on-year rise in the number of people in need of humanitarian assistance. What is less often talked about is the corresponding rise in protection needs. Yet, the Global Protection Cluster has warned that 160 million people are in need of protection in 2023, a staggering 42% rise over the last 2 years. Conflict and lack of respect and continued violations of international humanitarian law remains the leading culprit. The impact of climate change, economic fragility, record levels of displacement, and the COVID-19 pandemic have further exacerbated and driven the protection needs. The recent Secretary General's report on the protection of civilians paints a bleak picture. Almost 17,000 civilian deaths were recorded across 12 armed conflicts in 2022, a 53% increase from 2021. The urbanization of warfare and the use of explosive weapons in populated areas in particular has had devastating impacts. The destruction of critical infrastructure in conflict has also led and had far-reaching consequences, disrupting access to electricity, health care, water and sanitation services, and depriving many of the essentials to live, depriving many of their basic services. And it continues to drive high levels of conflict-related sexual violence, with the United Nations verifying more than 3,300 cases across 20 conflicts in 2022 alone. The true numbers are likely to be much higher. Women and girls are at particular risk. They continue to suffer disproportionately from sexual violence in humanitarian contexts. 95% of survivors of conflict-related sexual violence in 2022 alone were women and girls. As recently as March this year, Médecins Sans Frontières reported that in Goma, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, in a two-week period alone, had 674 cases of sexual violence reported, perpetrated against women and girls, a staggering 48 victims a day. Levels of gender-based violence are on the rise from Colombia to Nigeria, Libya to Mozambique, Sudan, Somalia, Yemen, Myanmar. Crises also increase the risks to women and girls of other forms of abuse, including trafficking, and often drive communities to adopt negative coping strategies, such as child marriage. Increased displacement has exposed women and girls to heightened risks while on the move in and around displacement sites and detention facilities. Attacks on women's rights and their meaningful participation in society and decision-making continues. The limitations placed on women in Afghanistan, as the ambassador and the chair of this panel said, is a vivid example. Children, as we've seen in the video, are also at particular risk of harm. Conflicts killed and injured thousands of children in 2022, with guns, landmines, explosive remnants of war, and the use of explosive weapons in populated areas. In Somalia, children accounted for 95%, again, a large majority of casualties from explosive remnants of war. Attacks against schools and teachers interrupted education, robbed children of safe spaces, made children more vulnerable to recruitment and exploitation, and undermined their futures. They have been abducted. Children have been forcibly deported. Children have spent months and years on the move from IDP camp to IDP camp. We have seen this in every situation. the impact on children. And they continue to face hunger, malnutrition, disease, much of it driven and exacerbated by conditions of conflict. Member states and many of us made commitments recently in Oslo toward tackling these challenges. Mr. Chair, the purpose of this panel today is to look at how we as a humanitarian community can address these trends. To get the conversation started, I would like to make these 3 points. One, we must continue to call on all parties to conflict to uphold their international humanitarian law obligations to protect civilians, repress conflict-related sexual violence, and facilitate humanitarian access, such as in Sudan. In all contexts, we must also push for the respect of human rights. In Colombia, basic humanitarian standards have been promoted to improve behavior of all armed actors. Accountability for violations and abuses must be strengthened. Two, member states also have an obligation to ensure respect for IHL, international humanitarian law, by exerting the influence at their disposal. We must continue to collaborate with member states and others to reinvigorate advocacy and implementation of existing international agendas on protection issues, such as the avoidance of explosive weapons in populated areas, AWIPA, protection of civilians, women, peace and security, and conflict-related sexual violence. And finally, three, in line with last year's independent review of the Interagency Standing Committee protection policy, the humanitarian community must do better at placing protection at the center of humanitarian action, accompanied by meaningful engagement with affected persons during all phases. Thank you, and I look forward to the upcoming discussion.